Nothing strange is over here. Just in about a week, I'll be another year older.
Yeah, I hear that. You're catching up to Beth here. Did I hear Charlie out there earlier?
You heard Charlie. He's listening to the traffic right now. He said he'll be back in.
Alrighty. Yep, just putting away a bottle of wine that the landlord gave us, and we pulled that one off. On to the next one.
Ah, now I got it. That makes sense why you popped on the radio. Every time you have a little wino, you seem to be out here. KD2BOR.
KD2BOR, KD2DKO, yeah. I don't know, I guess that seems to be the little equalizer lately. That's what's needed. But, you know, overall, everything's cool. Actually, we've been having pretty good weather, which, you know, I'm surprised. And so far, everything's nice. We haven't had that big snowstorm accumulation. That'll come probably in February if we're lucky, and maybe not at all if we're really lucky. So let's stay away from that. Let's keep warm.
Hope you bit your tongue when you talked about snow.
Although it did get pretty hot a couple of days ago, didn't it? Almost hit, it hit 70, actually, didn't it?
Week ago Sunday, it was very warm. Even Monday wasn't too bad either.
Yeah, well, see, that's the freaky weather we get. 2 days later, I think it was like 20 degrees out at night.
Christmas morning, I think I had like 17, 18 when I came to the shop to fool around on the computer for a while before I went to Debbie's house.
Yeah, see, that's not good because when it happens, that's why people get sick and they get pneumonia and stuff. When, you know, one day it's like 70, the next day it's like 20. You don't know what to wear. You think, it's not going to be that bad, and all of a sudden it hits you, you know?
How do you like the new ID on the repeater, Carlos?
I've been monitoring it, and I don't know, sometimes it's a little, the high pitch of it sometimes overtakes somebody, you know, when it goes right through the repeater, when they're talking. I don't know that I'll get used to it, I guess eventually. I actually memorized the previous call, so I'd be like, you know, every now and then I'd just be whistling it. Now it's kind of, it'll take some getting used to. What's the deal? Why did they change? Is there a new owner for the repeater? What happened?
You know, something changed. I can't comment on it totally. I don't know the whole story. I don't know if somebody owns it, somebody, whatever, part of the club. I'm really not too sure. When Charlie gets in there, maybe he knows a little bit more. I think somebody moved away. They had a party for him, a luncheon. I'm really not too sure on the whole thing, Carlos.
Well, you know, yeah, whatever. I know there was problems before with EchoLink, because I remember I tried getting in on EchoLink one time, and there was nothing. It was closed. But I would hear the EchoLink identifier. So I didn't know what was up with that, if there was a technical problem or what.
10-1-0, you're back.
Okay, Charlie, acknowledge. Yeah, the EchoLink was down for a couple days with this transfer of something, Carlos, because Steve had a problem getting in, and somebody else did. Charlie, pick it up. 82-BOR.
Okay, very good. Just wanted to hear the traffic and the weather. Good morning, Carlos. Good to hear you on this morning. 82-DKO and 1LU Mobile.
N1LU Mobile with KD2BOR. This is KD2DKO. How's it going, Charlie? I was hearing you the day that you had the accident, just as you had the accident. So I was like really confused over how that whole thing happened. And then, you know, what did it take, like 3 weeks for you to get your car back?
Nice Taurus, brand new Taurus.
guess that's something that's not included when they're fixing your car, you know, the gas prices. Or they don't give you an option of which car you can take, right? It's just whatever they give you.
Well, I kept calling them up and asking them if they could get me in something a little bit more economical. The first car they gave me was an SUV. I don't remember which one offhand. I only had it for a day. Then they put me in the Taurus. Then when I saw how long it was going to be, I was asking if I could get into something a little bit better. But I remember one time I needed a car from them. They gave me the Toyota Prius. And that thing was great. And I think I was getting 47 miles to the gallon. That was real nice. But I haven't seen one of those since. So that's what I was kind of hoping for, is a Prius. But anyway, luckily that's behind me. And now I'm back in the red mobile. And very happy about it.
I was going to ask you, because I'm kind of curious, when you hand in the car to be fixed, do you have to remove your antenna from the car, or do you just send it into the shop that way, and then you can throw it over to Rocky when you finish the answer?
Yeah, I'm sure I probably should have, and which I did. I took that off. I took the front panel out of the car and the microphone. I left the body of the radio in the trunk. I'm sure it's just easy for them to, get it in and out of the bay without the antenna on, so I did take it off. But I did leave the body of the radio in the car, and it was fine. Rocky, over to you, KD2BOR. N1LU, I think I'm on medium power, so if I'm noisy, that's why.
KD2BOR, yeah, you were a little noisy for a bit, but not a problem. We could copy what you were saying. Did you check out that speaker yesterday? Did you get a chance?
Yeah, it wasn't the speaker. It's the wire, one of the lead wires that goes to that speaker. It's got a loose connection. And so I taped it up. I got some tape from work and taped it up while it was active, so I knew that I was taping it in the right position. So far, it's working.
Oh, very good. Okay, pick it back up, Carlos. I'm a little tied up here. I'll be listening. I'll jump in when I can. Over to you, Carlos. KD2BOR.
KD2BKO for ID. Charlie, I know you're going to get the same speaker as Rocky has at the shop. Did you finally get that? How's it working out? I'm kind of curious. How's it working out for you, and how does it compare with the ICOM that you gave me?
Tell you the truth, I can't remember how the ICOM sounds that I gave you. They all sound pretty much the same. The speaker I got from Rocky probably has more highs. The one I'm using right now for this side of the radio probably has more mids, maybe more lows. It accentuates the lows a little bit better. But the one I got from Rocky, I like the sound. I liked it when I heard it at Rocky's place, and I like it here in the car. It's nice and loud and small, compact. So that's on the other side of the radio.
Yeah, I think the speaker is what makes the whole difference. When you compare any speaker with what comes on these radios, it's just it's night and day. It makes a whole difference. So I thank you again for the speaker. It does make the sometimes I'll test it just to see the difference, and man, it's like you don't want to go back to it, once you hear it. So it does make a difference, especially if you're in the car. If you're in the car with all the road noise and stuff, and you got somebody who speaks low, then you really need to pump it up. Now, I'm curious as to whether they sell something that can equalize the audio, though, because sometimes you'll have somebody who's really low, and then somebody who's really loud, and, it blasts, and you got to keep, shifting back and forth, trying not to blow your brains out trying to hear the other person,
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just did a little... Stand by. All right, I'm back. I just did a little experiment, and I'll tell you my findings. But right now, I want to run in and grab a cup of coffee. I'll be out in a second. N1LU.
Right. Alrighty, KD2DKO standing by.
Hey, Carlos, we got to get together one of these days, so give me that radio back. Debbie's looking at the top shelf in the garage. She goes, when are you going to start cleaning some of that stuff up?
Yeah, my roommate still needs to get her brakes done, so yeah, that's a good idea. And I'm kind of curious. I want to hear your speakers again, because I'm, you know, I might be interested in getting those speakers, or that speaker, because, you know, anything, like I said, you know, audio is everything on a radio. It's like you're not going to settle for it. You know, if you could keep a radio low, and you could hear the, you know, all the fullness around it, like, you know, I remember that's what it sounds like over there in your garage. That's what it's all about. So I'm kind of curious to hear the sound again. Yeah, definitely got to get together again.
82 BOR. Yeah, I tend to leave mine up a little louder, Carlos, with my hearing. You know, with the noise in the shop, and then my hearing is a little not as good as it used to be, so I tend to keep my radio a little loud. Last night I drove Debbie to church for 5:30 mass. I think she had a mass for her aunt or her mother. And she goes, boy, you got that radio loud in the car. I was talking to N2RCP. I said, I need it loud. I can't hear it.
KD2BOR, KD2DKO. Have you had your hearing tested, Rocky? Maybe you can, maybe they sell some kind of a hearing aid or something. It might help, you to hear better.
I'm not to that point, Carlos. The problem is, there's certain tones that I can't hear. Like when I go in the other room and Debbie's talking, some of the words I miss because of the tones. Otherwise, once I'm in the room, I hear perfectly fine everything she says. It's just that when she starts talking through walls, I don't hear her.
That's okay. You know, I don't think we're expected to hear talking through walls. But I know what you're talking about. But, you know, when we start reaching a certain age, I guess, you know, the hearing starts, it's not what it was when we were kids. Plus, you know, all the abuse, I don't know about you, but for me, I used to, when I was a teenager, early 20s, I used to hang out at clubs, and, you know, I'd be, like, sitting by the speaker and hanging out and just, you know, dance and do whatever, and I'd close your ears out after a while, and, you know, you pay the price as you get older, you know?
I saw you dressed up in your clothes. You were a regular disco duck.
That's funny. I don't remember what picture was it that you saw, unless you've been to my Facebook, and then I've got them all up there. Yeah, I used to kind of be I was a big fan of John Travolta way back then. So I probably had the whole Saturday Night Fever, the whole getup.
I think it was a picture in your kitchen. I think your father was still alive. You sent me a picture of your father, and then you sent me a picture in your getup.
I don't remember that. I remember the one, you know, with my father when I was taking care of him. But that was, I think that was 2000, you know, like 13 years ago. But, yeah, no, I remember that when I was into all that, my teens, you know. That was the big thing back then, the disco thing. So, you know, there were two groups. There was the rock group and the disco ducks, and I guess I hung out with the disco crowd. I think it was a lot of Latinos in the area would go dancing, and I was just part of that group, I guess. I never really got into the rock, you know. And then later on as an adult, now I like everything except rap, you know. But the oldies, the disco, the rock, all of it, you know, it's cool.
82 BOR. Yeah, I liked it. That Saturday Night Fever was a good movie. I like Travolta. What a dancer he was. They said he was a pain in the neck to teach how to dance, but even going back to the Grease movie and that movie there, Saturday Night Fever, he did some dancing in those two movies.
You know what's funny is that in 1978, I graduated high school, and as a present, my parents paid for a trip for me to go with my friends to California. And I went down there, and I actually took a picture of John Travolta, who was making a movie back then. And I've got that. I think I have it on my Facebook page, or I have it somewhere on my computer. But it's funny that, you know, here the guy grew up in Englewood, you know, not 3 or 4 miles from where I lived all my life, and I had to go 3,000 miles to see him, you know?
You sent me that picture of John Travolta. He was getting into a cab or a car or something like that. All right, why don't you see if Charlie's out there? I got something else I got to do here, and I'll be listening. KD2, BOR.
N1LU, KD2DK, are you back there, Charlie? You back?
Yeah, I'm back. Ooh, man, that coffee went down hot. Just finished my snack. What I did is I flipped between the two speakers when you were talking, because I think we can all agree you're fairly soft-spoken. And you sounded better on Rocky's speaker, because it accentuates the highs more, and it's got a little more higher tonal quality than the SP50B that I have over my shoulder. So on one speaker, you sounded a little bit better than you did on the other, just because of the tonal quality of the speaker, because your audio doesn't change. But what I hear coming from the speakers, the two different speakers, does change.
You know, I'll be happy with the any tone. I mean, I like the fact that you can only, you know, you can also tune in the police bands and the fire bands and everything else. You know, outside of just the ham frequencies. But there's only one thing that I'm not crazy about. You can't bring the audio down all the way for some reason. It goes, you know, let's say from 0 to 10, it would cut off like maybe at 2. You know, it goes, you hear something and then all of a sudden you hear nothing. So it doesn't gradually cut down. I don't know if that could be fixed with a firmware upgrade or what, but that's the only defect that I find in this radio.
Yeah, I've heard other people talk about that too. I don't know what 3 sounds like, if 3 is too loud or what, but, well, you know, it is what it is. It's what you're getting what you're paying for. They're using cheaper parts in there to keep the price down. So probably the potentiometer for the audio has limitations. It might not even be a potentiometer. It might be something else. Variable resistor, I don't know. I have no clue how they do the audio.
Yeah, you know, I can't complain otherwise, though. What's the deal? I heard you had problems with your HF rig. What's going on with that?
Not a clue. Something in it's not right. Something in it's loose or whatever. But I've got intermittent that's becoming more permanent receive issues with the 440. So I've got a guy that I'm going to send it to probably in the next couple of weeks, down in Cape May, New Jersey, and he's going to see if he can't resurrect it for me. I'm real bummed because I know it's going to cost me probably 3 bills to get it fixed. So now the radio that I got a deal on is going to be a high price that I paid for a 440, like $600.
N1LU, KD2DKO. Yeah, that's really a bummer. How old was this radio supposed to be when you got it? Was it as old as the guy told you it would be, or, you know, what's the deal with it? I mean, did he put any guarantee at all when you got it? How long did you have before you started noticing these problems?
No, you know, you very rarely get guarantees on used equipment, especially as old as that. It's a pretty vintage now, you know. For the most part, I mean, it's all solid state, but I bet you it's from the 80s, maybe early 80s, mid 80s, so it's got some time on it, but, you know, it's water under the bridge, not much I can do about it now. Now I've got to try to either cut my losses, sell it for parts, hope I can get $200 for it, which I doubt, and then I'll lose $100, or invest some money into it and get it up and running. The way it should. I love the radio, especially when it works, but, you know, when it doesn't work, it's real frustrating.
I'm just wondering if you were to want, you know, the inside rebuilt, I mean, how is that, are the parts actually to get, or, you know, would it just be, would that be used parts also that you'd have to get, or could somebody just, you know, rebuild the entire board brand new?
Well, I don't think it's that severe. I think there's just something loose, maybe a bad solder joint or something. I don't think it's anything that serious. And, you know, I think the parts to replace, you know, to fix it are readily available. They just, you know, they're newer components. That's got 80s technology in it, 80s resistors and capacitors, and they'll just replace whatever is not working, if there's something not working. I don't think that's the case, though. Like I said, I think it's just something that's not secure in there. Because when it's really acting up, it sounds like a loose antenna connection, which it's not, because I've tried several antennas on it. So it could be just a loose wire, a cold solder joint, who the hell knows. But I don't think it's going to be too much of an issue. I may be wrong. It may cost less than $300 to fix. But $300 is the price he has on his webpage. But that's for a complete overhaul on a radio, including, you know, cleaning the outside cover and making it look as new as possible. The guy, you know, does a real good job from what I've read about him. So I'm not leery at all sending the radio to him. I just, you know, I didn't want to invest, you know, another couple of $100 in it. But we'll see. I haven't used it in a couple of days, so let me see what happens when I turn it on today. But right now it seems the last time I used it, the receiver is almost completely gone now, which may be a good thing. It may be easier to track it down.
So you're just keeping the 857 for when you go on the road to use on HF, or have you been using it when you realized that this radio wasn't working at 100%?
No, right now the KD2PKO N1LU, the 857 is on my 10 meter vertical. I'm in the market to buy another LDG tuner to hook up to the 857. So I could put the off-center Fed or the Carolina Windham on that and use that until the radio gets repaired. You need a tuner for the antenna that I'm using. The 440 has a built-in tuner, so I've been using that. But if I want to use that antenna on the 857, I got to get a tuner.
Very good. Well, you know, at least it's good to know that you have a backup radio. But, yeah, no, I think you're doing the right thing. You know, sending it to this guy, 300 may sound a little steep, but, you know, if he gives it an overall and you don't think it's really that big a deal, you know, I'd go for it. I mean, you know, if the radio really looks, you know, looks like in mint condition or whatever, you've got a collector's item there, you know. It's something that I wouldn't just say, you know, let's trash it or whatever. I'd try to fix it.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, well, I've got to weigh my options and everything, but more than likely I'll get it fixed because I do like the radio. The guy won't do anything until he diagnoses it. Then he'll call me up and tell me what the damage is. I'll tell you, if it's more than 300, then I might ask him, what would you give me for the radio as a parts radio? Because I'm definitely not going to turn this into a $700 radio. It's ridiculous. You know, it's 20-plus years old. I don't want to spend $700 on a radio that old. It's not a Collins. You know, it's just a matter of time. I got to get the radio down to him first so he can check it out.
82 VOR.
All right. Go ahead, Charlie. Rocky.
Charlie, I just pulled something up on your radio from QST Magazine in 1986. They advertised the new price of that radio was $1,200, so it's a little older than mine. I think mine was started to be built in 1989.
Yeah, I knew it was up there in price, which is pretty amazing, because back in 1986, $1,200 would have been a fortune to me. I never would have been able to afford the radio.
Yeah, they said it was $1,200, and with filters and accessories would add up to about another $210. And they said that would be well over $2,000 in today's money.
Yeah, too bad it wasn't new in the box. I've seen a few old radios like mine that the guys advertise as new in the box, never used. I don't know how a radio would get in that state, you know, unless it just got packed away in a warehouse and somebody forgot about it.
Well, not even what radios. There's a lot of stuff out there. People have stuff in their attic. I watch that show American Pickers, and you'd be surprised what they come up with sometimes.
Yeah, I love that show. I'm amazed at some of the prices they pay for a, you know, an old Harley frame that's all rusted out, and they'll pay $1,500 for the frame itself with nothing else on it, just because it's a vintage piece of equipment, and somebody might want to restore it and, you know, have it as the frame of a newer bike, but, you know, have the old frame on it. Yeah, I'm really amazed at the prices they pay for signs and old oil cans. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I get a kick out of it. I like that show, Rick's Restoration. Over to you, Carlos. KD2, BOR.
KD2BOR with N1LU. This is KD2DKO. Yeah, you know, it is. That's probably what the price is all about. It's you know, supply and demand. It's something like that you can't find anywhere. You know, I think back to I don't know if you, I've probably told this story before, but you know, my uncle, my late uncle, he used to live here in Jersey. He came up back in the 50s, and you know, to make some money so they could move down there. This is before Cuba was taken over by the communists. But, you know, he made some money here, and he had a 57 Chevy, and he drove the 57 Chevy down there. Back then, you would take a ferry from Key West to Cuba, to Havana. So that's the car that he had when he died, and he kept it in mint condition, you know. They would just, whenever he needed parts, they would go to their, whatever junkyard they could find, and they would find the parts and do it. You know, it was like the only thing you had, so you had to keep it, you know, in perfect condition. I've seen pictures of it from 20 years ago. The thing looked brand new. It must have been like 30 or something, 30, 40 years old even then.
N1LU Mobile. I've never been to Cuba, but I work with a lot of people that are from there, and from what I understand, there's a lot of those kind of cars driving around in Cuba, and they take real good care of them because it's hard for them to get the newer cars. And they have very good mechanics that work on these cars and keep them running. Got to give them credit.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. But when it gets like that in a situation, like in a country like that, it's a communist country, and they, you know, they don't, people don't have the freedom to, you know, to get rid of a car, or get a new one, or whatever. You know, it's not only a car. I think I've said that, you know, my cousin was into ham radio, and he was, you know, he would do the HF stuff like 20 years ago. He's no longer in it. But he would tell me, you know, he'd contact me if I could find a part for him, whatever, and they would just put it together. It was like a makeshift radio. And they'd go on the air and, you know, and do it that way. So it is what it is. Whatever, you know, whatever you can get your hands on, you become creative when push comes to shove, you know. Over to you, Rocky, KD2BOR, KD2DKO.
Yeah, thanks, Carlos. KD2BOR. I'm here admiring the inside of Charlie's radio, this site that I found. The guy's got all pictures and talks about this thing. It's not bad. That radio's real old technology. At least you can tell what a capacitor and a resistor is.
Yeah, it's got a couple of other issues that rear their ugly head. Hopefully mine won't get that. I think if it hasn't had it now, it won't. And that's the issue with the glue that they use. I think the VCO or something that tends to pick up some sort of dust or whatever and become conductive and cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, I saw a video on the internet about that, Charlie, where the guy dismantled the whole board and cleaned all that glue off, because like you said, it becomes conductive, and he put some new parts in. I don't know which site it was, but I saw a whole video on that one time.
Yeah, that's my biggest fear, is getting the receive problem fixed, and then a month down the a month or two down the road, having the that dot problem they have because of that glue, having that rear its ugly head. You know, then I got another issue to deal with. You know, I don't want to I don't want to be pumping money into that radio.
That's why I'm hesitant to send mine down there. I was thinking about it. You know, I got, you know, $750 I paid for it. I bought that extra digital board. I bought the capacitors for the cardboard. You know, I got about $900 tied up in that radio, and I don't know if I want to put any more into it.
Well, what issue are you having with it right now?
I feel my noise level, the static, is too high all the time. KD2BOR for ID. I read a lot of stuff. I watch a lot of videos on the Internet. And there's a resistor on the transistor on the RF board. They say that could be the problem. I've located one already, but that stuff is so small to change, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it with my eyes unless I have one of those magnifying lamps to work with.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm in a bad spot over here. Just got off the George, going through a couple of short tunnels. Oh, okay, that's odd. Yeah, I never knew about that. But the noise is that bad, huh, the static?
Yes, I think I'm just going to order one of those transistors. They got them on eBay, and a friend of mine's got one of those magnifying lights, and I watched a lot of videos on how to take surface mount stuff off, and I think one of these days I'm going to attempt it and see if it cures the problem.
You might want to invest in a pair of magnifying glasses too. You know, using the lamp is fine, but you gotta look through the lamp and work underneath it. Can get a little bit awkward. I've got a real cheap pair. You're more than welcome to buy those, and it can get you real close to the board. Just wearing them, you know, over your regular glasses. I use them all the time when I do real close stuff, and I tell you, they've come in handy. They've been a lifesaver, and they cost me like I think $9. They're plastic. The people that use these are, believe it or not, I got them from a knitting store. I remember reading an article about it on one of the ham radio magazines. And they're real inexpensive, and older women that knit use these glasses so they can see what they're doing.
Yeah, very good. I'll see if I can find that site, the exact site, and I'll send it to you one of these days to your phone. You can look at it, what I'm talking about. Pick it up, Carlos. I'm going to start getting cleaned up, and I'll catch you from the mobile. KD2BOR. Over to you, Carlos.
All righty, Rocky. Charlie, when you turn the radio in, can't you ask the guy to do, you know, some kind of an overhaul on it to make sure that, you know, it won't give you that kind of problems, like with the glue, or, you know, to make sure that you can check and make sure that, you know, all the capacitors aren't leaking and whatnot, because, you know, since obviously it's an older radio, maybe you could just check all the parts and make sure it's not going to give you any problems down the road, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm sure he'd do whatever I want him to do, and, you know, obviously that's going to add to the cost of the repair. I will ask him to check the that glue situation and see if it's been fixed, or if it's the vintage that has the different glue, I guess. I don't know. If he thinks I'm going to have a problem with it down the road, you know, then I may say, well, can you fix that too and charge me accordingly? That I've seen some videos on. There's two ways around fixing that. One is removing all of the parts that are encased in that VCO and then taking the glue off. Other people have gone in there with a dental pick and picked out as much of the glue as they can, and that seems to alleviate the problem. So it's sort of something that I might be able to do myself, but, you know, I don't know. I'm going to have to talk to this guy when he gets my radio.
You know what the problem is? It's not really a problem. It's vintage. We're stuck with vintage here. When we get to a certain age and we love something when we were younger, and you're like, man, I always wanted that when I was younger, when I was a kid. You know, all of a sudden, you finally have the money for it, and you're like, yeah, I got to get that. It's vintage. But what you don't take into account at that moment is the fact that, you know, what you want is going to have parts that are, you know, 25, 30 years old. And, you know, especially in radio, and, you know, when you know about all these the leaky capacitors and all the other technical problems. So you're basically falling in love with the shell. You know, you're looking at it and say, oh, man, look at all these buttons. This is awesome. This is going to be great. But it's not a real, the gust is what counts, and that's not going to be 100% the way it was the day before. Even if you were to get a radio, like you just said, some radios, their announce is just being there in the, let me drop it. Their announce is being there on the, never touched, and it was, somebody kept it like in their attic or whatever the whole time. It's still, 25, 30 years old. The parts are still going to be, rusting or leaking or doing whatever they do over time,
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A radio that's been sitting around, never used for 30 years probably is more problematic than the same vintage radio that's been on someone's, in someone's shack being used all the time. I would be real leery about just plugging in a radio that's been laying around and never, ever used for 30 years and just turning it on. You never know what the hell's going to happen. I agree 100%. Well, I tell you, I've learned my lesson. I think I'm done buying used radios, unfortunately, because there's a lot out there that I really like that I wouldn't mind having, but I think I'm just going to stick with something new the next purchase I make. This is getting real frustrating and heartbreaking.
M1LU, KD2DKO. I've yet to see Rocky's radio. I'd love to see it. But actually, I'd love to hear him go on the air on it, I don't know. Has he set up another antenna, or is he still just on 10 meters?
No, he's still just on 10 meters. I worked him a little bit, I think, once on 10. I could just about hear him. We're too close for ground wave. Is that what it is? No, we're too far away for ground wave and too close for skip. So 10's kind of tough. I should see if he can get on a repeater. Send me a repeater. That we could probably work each other on, no problem. I'll have to send him the frequencies. It's a little difficult with the older radios because you got to set up a split. You got to set up a transmit and a receive. And if you don't know how to do that, it can be a bit of a hassle.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with anything outside of 2 meters and 440. So, is 10 meters the only other frequency that uses repeaters outside of 2 meters, 440?
Well, you got 6 meters, you got 220, but yeah, no other HF band that I know of uses repeaters. Just 10 and down, 10, 6, 2, 440, 220, and all the rest.
All right. Yeah, I've been out of the loop. I've been checking in on the Facebook page. I'm kind of curious because I know that Jim created that 160-meter antenna, which was running all over his yard. I'm kind of curious to see how many QSOs he's made. And what the furthest is that he's done, because I know that he's always on, the 817? But, he's got his low wattage going.
Yeah, you got to give him credit. That's 160 is a tough band to get on. But he's done it in a relatively small space. Once the winter's over, I've got to get my backyard in shape, and I'm thinking of trying the same thing, putting up something for 160, even if it's low to the ground. It'll get out somewhere, and I've got a few friends from 75 meters that all migrated to 160, and some of them are fairly close, so I may be able to work them on it. But I've got some ideas how to string it around my yard. And I've got a friend of my wife's has bamboo growing in her yard, and she hates it. So I want to go over there and harvest some of the biggest pieces and try to utilize those in hanging the antenna at a fairly reasonable height. I'll use real light wire. It's only going to be running 100 watts. I'm going to try to figure out how thin I can go on the wire with a 100 watts going into it before it's an issue.
some room in case Rocky comes in. When I saw that, you know, the diagram that that Jim did, you know, it's kind of curious because it's like it looks like a maze. It's like, you know, everything has to be, if you're going to run that, you know, because it's so long, it has to be like a maze. I don't know. If you have a backyard, I don't know how you could do that and not have the wife say something, you know. It's something that anybody can get on 160 is a miracle. When I see you know, the complications that that are involved here to try to get it going, it's pretty much a miracle. But it seems like something challenging, you know. I guess, you know, if I had an HF rig, I'd love to try it too. Let's see if Rocky's back. KD2BOR, KD2DKO, you back, Rocky?
KD2BOR, Mobile. Just listen to you guys and checking out gas prices along the avenue here. It's ridiculous. I think it's going back up instead of going down. Yeah, luckily I filled up yesterday at 317. I think it's still that over here. We'll find out what happens on Monday. Maybe when the holidays are over, it'll start to come down a little bit. Yeah, it'll come down. And then when the holiday weekends come up, you know, Memorial Day, 4th of July, all those again, they'll be raising it. I'm seeing 319 all along here, Charlie. Yeah, which is, you know, like, I can't complain because it's still a hell of a lot cheaper, 379 in Connecticut, you know, right around the corner from my house. I mean, you can hunt around and find it for probably, 372 or something, but that's still no bargain. You know, I'm doing much better here in New Jersey than filling up at home. Yeah, that's for sure. Oh, good, I just saw 316. Let's see if Bill's sleepwalking. They're doing his thing. If he doesn't pick it up, back over to you, Carlos. KD2, BOR.
I guess he's not out there. But, yeah, that's how it always is with gas prices. Usually it's the summer when they decide to spike it. It's like, you know, whenever you're going to go on vacation, that's when they decide to bring it up, you know. Gouge it. Over to you, Charlie. N1LU, KD2DKO.
Alrighty, I'm here. Just parked. I'll sit here and finish my coffee and then head inside. Thank God it's Friday. It's been a hell of a week. Oh. Next week won't be too bad. I'm not having anybody over. I'm having my nephew and his family over, but that's only five people. I had 15 for Christmas. That was a hell of a mess, and I'm going to have to still clean up this weekend over it. My wife was sick yesterday, so she didn't budge from bed. She had some sort of a stomach bug. I don't know if it's from some of the food she ate or what. But, I think maybe she just overindulged a little bit, although she said she didn't. And her stomach just couldn't handle all the rich food. Unlike mine, I haven't stopped. I can't wait to get rid of some of this crap. I've got such a sweet tooth, and there's so many sweets around that that's almost what I eat for dinner. It's really terrible. I'm pounding on the pounds, but luckily we're starting that pool next week, so after that I'm going to be real careful with what I eat. But I'm feeling very, very uncomfortable. Go ahead, Carlos.
I'll tell you, I'm not a traditionalist when it comes to Christmas time food, because, you know, everybody likes, the Cubans usually go for the pork, you know, they love the pork, and I know the traditional stuff is the turkey, but, man, I'm one for lasagna. I love lasagna, so I'd pack in the towns if I had the chance, but fortunately no. But yeah, you're right, though, you know, that's the bad thing. It's not so much what people eat, you know, as far as a meal. It's all sweets. That's what makes everybody, you know, feel sick to the stomach, whatever. It's just all the sweets that everybody eats. And, you know, usually between Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, it's just sweet, sweet, sweet. You have so much, you know, you just start getting nauseous and feel sick. So let's throw it over to Rocky, KD2BOR, KD2DKO.
KD2BOR Mobile. Yeah, the girlfriend was saying to me, she had the candy bowl up on the dining room table, and she said to me Christmas morning, you know, you don't have to eat all the candy at one sitting. I'm like, Charlie, when I was a kid, and still to this day, cake, Oh, my God. My mother used to make homemade cakes and, cupcakes and brownies. That's my biggest downfall is brownies. I can eat them things till I bust. Over to you, Charlie.
KD2DKO, KD2BOR, N1LU. Yeah, well, I can't wait till this stuff's all gone and out of the house and I'm back to normal. One more holiday to get through. I've got a cheesecake sitting in my back seat. I forgot to take it out of the car. Luckily, it was frozen when I got it from work. We do stuff for Carnegie Deli because their plant is right around the corner from us. So every Christmas, they send over cheesecakes for the management, and so I got mine. I got it a little late. I left early on Christmas Eve day. I left at 9 o'clock, and the cheesecake showed up about 9:30. So I missed it for Christmas, but I'll have it for New Year's. And then I want to empty out the house of all this crap. Let my son get back to college and get back to eating healthy and start losing some weight. I don't like being this big. Probably in the high 40s. I bet you I'm like 45, maybe more. This is probably the heaviest I've been in a while. So I can't wait to get on this weight pool. I'm really looking to win it. So I can buy a brand new radio this time. let's see, over to you, Rocky. I'm trying to think. No, I think you passed it to me. Go ahead, Carlos. Over to you. N1LU.
N1LU with KD2BOR. This is KD2DKO. Yeah, I know what you're talking about as far as trying to get past this, these holidays. It kind of gets monotonous, you know. But I can't imagine because, you know, when you've got kids, it's a different story. And, you know, you have to entertain them, you know, when you've got a family. So, you know, I got to hand it to you, Charlie. You know, that's something, you know, when you have to entertain, you have to learn, especially today. I can only imagine with today's kids, if you have a lot of kids coming over, you know, you really have to have a tolerance and have patience for them. But, hey, it is what it is, you know. That's what being a family is now. It's not the same as when we were kids, but it is what it is. All right, over to you, Rocky, KD2BOR, KD2DKO.
Yeah, thanks, Carlos. Charlie, you did put a few pounds on. Me and you were very close in weight. Last time I went to the cardiologist, he weighed me in at about 217, 218. But I guess you can't wait for this pool to start, huh?
No, not at all. I'm having trouble buttoning my pants at work. Although last year when I weighed in at the pool, I couldn't even button my pants, so I guess I'm a little bit ahead of that. I'm looking forward to it starting, giving me a little incentive to stop eating all this crap. And work doesn't help either because they're bringing pastries in. They bring in, you know, assorted pastries every day. So they're staring me in the face. You know, if there's nothing healthy to eat, I'll end up eating those. My secret is I've got to bring food in on my own. If I rely on eating stuff here at work, I'll never lose weight.
Yeah, and another thing you brought up before about that cheesecake. My mouth was watering. I forgot. Besides the brownies, cheesecake is my most favorite.
Yeah, I used to make a cheesecake every holiday. You know, make a different one, either chocolate or swirl or raspberry or strawberry cheesecake. I love making cheesecakes as much as I like eating them.
Over to you, Carlos, KD2BOR.
I can't disagree with you guys because while lasagna is my number one favorite meal, cheesecake's my number one favorite dessert. So there you got it. I don't know. I know that lasagna is Italian, but what's cheesecake? What do we attribute that? Is that also Italian?
I'm not sure of the origins, but yeah, I think so because I think there's Italian versions of cheesecake using ricotta rather than cream cheese. So you know, I think everybody's kind of latched onto a cheesecake.
I don't think I've ever had that with ricotta. It's got to be really tasty in a different way. But yeah, it sounds really Well, I put on weight. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, after the I told Beth when I first got here, this is, you know, the divorce diet is the best way to lose weight, because I was actually weighing about 205 when I was married, and 3 weeks after the divorce, I was down to 155. So, you know, when I came back, I settled, I think when I moved in here, I was about 170. I must be 188 now, so I got to pull back a little, too.
All right, I just looked it up real quick on my smartphone. It says cheesecake is believed to have originated in ancient Greece. So I guess that's where it started. However, cheesecake making can be tracked back as far as 2000 BC. Anthropologists have found cheesecake molds dating back to that period. So it's been around a while. I don't think anybody can claim it except for maybe the Greeks.
Pretty phenomenal. You know, how does somebody even know that? I mean, 2000 BC. You know, to I guess, you know, if you find something, bones or, you know, a stone or, you know, tablets on a stone, something. How can somebody actually say, well, you know, cheesecake's been around for 4,000 years? It's pretty phenomenal. But yeah, Greek. That makes sense. They do a lot of good stuff. But well, over to you. Rocky, KD2BOR, KD2DK,
hello. Yeah, thanks, Carlos, KD2BOR. This is funny. Back in my 11-meter days, on Friday nights, we used to have a cheesecake run. We had a diner up in Irvington, Kluss's Diner, and they made chocolate cheesecake that was unbelievable. Every Friday, there'd be a different person would have to go to the diner, pick up the cheesecake order, and then deliver it. Each slice, each piece to everybody's house, but we used to have fun with that years ago.
It says in here that cheesecake was first served at the Greek Olympic Games in 776 B.C. God knows how that. I have a feeling it didn't taste as good as the ones now.
You look at it. Hey, you never know, Charlie, with all the chemicals that they're putting in stuff today, you know, it might have been even better.
Well, it's probably better for you, but I don't think it tasted as good as the ones do nowadays with all the sweeteners they add to it. And I have a feeling it was just a block of cheese, and they called it a cake or something. Who the hell knows, but I'm shocked that they can find that out.
I think it'll be funny if you find the chef's name and if he still delivers.
And maybe they found one of his cheesecake boxes. But anyway, well, my coffee's done. It's getting chilly here in the car. So let me sign with you guys. Good hearing you, Carlos. Rocky, pleasure as always. Have a good day and a great weekend. 73, gentlemen. This is N1LU, and I'll be clear on your finals. Over to you, Rock.
Hey, Charlie, 73. Have a good weekend. Maybe we'll hear you out there over the weekend. Maybe not. Over to you, Carlos.
All right, Charlie, have a good day and a good weekend, and I'll look forward to you next week. I'll probably be on more often now. But, yeah, you know, as the holidays are getting over, everything will get back to normal. Over to you, Rock.
Just want to make sure Charlie didn't have anything else to say. All right, Charlie, 73. I'll stand by again. Hey, Carlos, depends on how many bottles of wine your landlord gives you how much you're going to be on.
Yeah, it seems that way lately. Unless I decide to have some late-night coffee, usually I just don't have the energy to get on the air. Sometimes I'll be like, you know, I don't know, half asleep or whatever, I'll turn on the radio and I can hear you guys in the background, but I can't really make up most of the conversation. But I think a couple of nights ago I said, okay, let me say something, and then I just fell asleep. Like I said, I need something, some kind of energy to get me going. And I guess all the sugar for this time of year, that'll do it.
82 BOR Friday. Yeah, I woke up during the night last night. I'm not sure if the tech net was last night. I don't remember if that's Tuesday or Thursday. And I heard Willie P. out there, so He might have been up a little later last night with a tech. That's a possibility. Why he's not on this morning?
Yeah, so Roger, you wish me a happy a Merry Christmas on the Facebook page. So I know that he's been around, and I know he keeps busy. Man, I've never seen anybody as busy retired. I think he's working more retired than when he was working.
Matter of fact, there was a whole conversation about that yesterday, Bill. You know, Bill was a fireman, and he since was saying that he held down two full-time jobs his whole life.
That's pretty incredible. And now, apparently, he's traveling. So, you know, it's good. It keeps him going, and he enjoys it. And he has time for his ham radio. I wonder how he's enjoying the DHF rig.
Oh, he's enjoying it. There's no doubt about that. He can't wait for the springtime to get his Carolina Windham up. I don't know if you've been listening to the CBS group at all, but I listen to it every day. It's on. Bill's been teaching everybody or giving explanations about fire trucks and sirens and lights. It really brought a lot to the table and made the net a little bit more interesting.
KD2BOR, KD2DKO, that's pretty cool, because yeah, he does bring a lot to the table. He's very interesting to listen to, and you know, he's got all the expertise from his days as head of the as fire chief. So you know, he brings a lot to the table, like you said. So I'm sure that he does liven up that group, and they appreciate him, and he's welcome. You know, he's a good addition. That's great.
Yeah, I like the way the net's being run right now, too, when Bob, W-A-B-O-B, or whatever his call is, I forget, where he took over passing it around to everybody because it was getting a little out of hand, people, you know, which is understandable, forgetting who they got to pass it to and stuff like that. But Bob, I'll tell you, he runs that net really, really good.
Yeah, I've never checked into the net. But I enjoy listening to them. But everybody else on that net, I've heard them at some point. You know, they talk when the net isn't on. But I've never heard Bob at all, other than when the net is on.
No, I haven't. Matter of fact, either. Most of the other ones, Josephine and AC2T, and I can't remember all the call signs, but. Most of them I have heard, you know, other than the net, I've heard them on the repeater, you know, a lot of times.
I know remember Josephine telling me one time that they also do a net, I think in Paramus or something, there's a Paramus repeater somewhere, and they said that it's an all XYL net, but I don't know when they meet. I think I can hear the Paramus repeater here. You know, basically in and out, just, you know, the ticket sense is a lot that I could hear, but I've never heard the net. I could just actually hear the repeater.
KD2BOR. I'm not sure which repeater. Let me drop it a cup. Okay, he didn't see me with the microphone in my hand. I'm not sure what repeater. It might be the Barra repeater, Carlos. Don't quote me on that. And sometimes I get the Barra repeater good. And other times I don't get it good at my shop. It's a little weak down by me.
What are you going to do about the antenna for your HF? Because I know that, you know, where you're located is kind of like a valley. So are you going to need a higher mast in order to get the antenna up a little?
Not sure what I'm going to do about it yet, Carlos. I'm going to wait till it gets warm out. There's no way I'm going to do anything with antennas in this weather.
That's cool. You've got a lot. You have a lot of options, you know. And for the time being, you do have the 10 meters, so that's pretty cool. But it's pretty weird, though. And you know, like Charlie was saying earlier, that he could barely hear you on 10 meters. And you figure, you know, you're just a stone throws away, really. You know, it's just, you know, it's the whole frequency thing. Like he says, too close to skip and. Whatever, it's just, you know, it's kind of weird to think that somebody's so close and you can't hear them on 10 meters, you know.
We were talking one time, I think Steve was out there, I'm not sure.